Enjoyed all the singing, the special singing today. I'm going to get right into the message, but before I do, I want to make a couple of announcements, and then I'm going to say something that will lead me into the message this morning. On the back table, there is a copy of a report that was sent to me by a school board member, Christopher Wingate, and it's just kind of the agenda for a conversation, some of the things that are going to be in discussion to be voted on. Approval of the long-term plan, Bible off-site education, the children's Bible ministry will be discussed, and approving of the adopting of Robert's Rule of Order for the school board. So these will be the three main topics of conversation, and if you'd like to get a copy, it's back there. There's also the long-range plan. If you are interested in seeing that and knowing what is being proposed, Brother Brian's going to be back there at the end of the service, and you can put your email address, and I would email that to you, so you could have the full five-year plan that the school board met about and is going to have discussion on and will be voted on tomorrow, okay, tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Madison. Now, let me say a word about that, because someone has mistakenly said or thought that as the pastor and as a church that we are going there to oppose the school board and oppose this and that. And so I want to go on record for those who, I don't think anyone here thinks that, but just in case someone does, those that may be watching by live stream, and if you're asked, your pastor prays for the school board. I hope that you do. Pray for the school board, number one. Number two, I'm there to support teachers and any school board member that wants to do what's right. I hope that you do. We want our children in this community to receive the best quality education. And so this is really just about accountability, to let these folks know that we're praying for them. And I intend on giving that message. I've been asked to lead in prayer tomorrow, and I will address the school board, every school board member, as a group, to let them know that I pray for them and I will continue to do so, and that we really want to work with them in any way we can as a community. That's what we do. That's what the school board is there for. We work together as a community to bring about the best situation in the school system that we can to, well, ensure just good education. That's what we're after. That's all we're after. So that will take care of that. Secondly, there has been, and I'm going to be preaching a little bit, just try to help you a little bit. There's been some questions about a individual who's a member of our church that has been alleged in a improper sexual situation. And as your pastor, I want to make just a couple of situations here, okay? Number one, it's not me, even if it is, it's alleged. I want you to know that. It's alleged. And as the pastor, I have taken every step to ensure that the right steps were taken. Had to make a couple of judgment calls, but I did. The assistant pastor did the same. Many of you were here for the Wednesday night meeting, and so you saw some the same things that we saw. And so I want to make a couple of statements here, and then I'll move forward into the message. What do you do when you're attacked? Individually, as a church, what do you do when you're attacked? Well, There are several avenues you can take. Probably the worst thing you can do is try to argue back, give a defense, in case it's in the court of law, of course. And so I just want you to know a few things. Number one, we have an adversary. Now, it's hard to draw a line here because I want to be very careful the way I word this. I think those of you who know me well know that I would never, I have a track record. I'm not for unrighteousness. Doesn't matter who it is. I'm not for unrighteousness. I'm not for evil deeds. Someone does an evil deed, then as a pastor, I'm going to act on that when it's proven. Number one, when they're guilty. Everybody should nod your head that you understand what guilty and innocent is, and you're innocent until proven guilty. Number one. Number two, I would never try to cover anything that's been done in particularly to an innocent individual and to a child. Never. I have zero tolerance. I've stood from this pulpit and said it numerous, countless times. I have zero tolerance for someone that would harm a child or an elderly person.
Amen.
Zero.
Amen.
Zero tolerance. But I do want you to also understand this. There are people who hate Jesus Christ. Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen to this. They cannot defeat Jesus Christ. You understand that. They understand that. The devil that is driving many people understands that. All right? So what's the next best thing they're going to do? They're going to come after the body of the head. Now, if you're not aware of this, I'm making you aware this morning. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you too. And so it doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter. Okay, I want you to know, I want you to understand something before I preach the word to you. People say, well, is this individual innocent or guilty? The court of law will decide that. The court of law will decide that. We have a judicial system in place, and it will decide that. And I am praying that truth prevails and justice is enacted.
Amen.
I want you to know that.
Amen.
All right? I wouldn't be much of a Christian, number one, but certainly of a preacher if I wanted anything else. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
The next thing I want you to understand is the devil, he knows he's no match for the head. He's always coming after the body. Always. And so what happens when something like this happens? What is the devil's intention? Well, the intention is to scatter the sheep. You understand that. Because if you think that you're going to be able to get through life as a Christian without a local church family, you need your head, number one. You need Jesus.
Amen.
But you need the body.
Amen.
You're just one member of the body.
Amen.
And if you think that your eye can make up for your ear, you're mistaken. And if you think that you can walk around on your hands and you don't need your feet, you don't understand. And so I'm just trying to help you to understand what's going on here. This is about something bigger than what's going on. Now, what's going on is big. The allegation. We want the truth. I want the truth. And I want anyone that's been hurt in this minister to. And I will go out of my way. I've built my ministry on that. I'm not here to defend me. My works speak for me. You understand that. My works speak for me. I've built my ministry on helping people, on ministering to people, on reaching to those who are down and out, on those that are troubled. And I'm not going to allow some liberal to stop the way I minister to sinners.
Amen.
I want you to know something. I'm still going after sinners. I'm still going to help those that are down and out. And I pray to God that you are too. Okay? See, that's what this is all about. This is not about... Some of these folks, they're not interested. Now, some of you may have saw the headline in the Mad Rap. Okay? It's a local newspaper. Well, I guess it's a newspaper. Really not sure what that is. It's tabloid. And falsely accusing people. And I called the editor, and he clarified it. But I want an apology, okay? Because there's a lot of inaccuracy. And he admitted it to me, but I want him to admit it to the community, you see, because what is done is done. He just, and I've heard, don't know anything about this, but I've been told by several people that this happens with regularity. Don't understand how something like that could happen with regularity without stiff consequences. But I've contacted him, and we're going to work this out or else, because we're not going to stand for that. Now, the devil is behind this, regardless of what happens. And the devil doesn't like what goes on at Fellowship Baptist Church. You understand that. He never has. He doesn't like the devil doesn't like what goes on in any Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. But I want to tell you this. We don't care what the devil likes. I'm concerned about what Jesus wants. And I hope you are too. And I am committed to follow Jesus and to do what is right. And I hope that you are too. You say, well, what do we do, preacher? Well, let's just see. I've got some advice for you this morning. Okay? And I hope that you'll listen very carefully. So where do we go from here? Well, first of all, I am a firm believer, have been, and will remain a firm believer in innocent until proven guilty. I believe in our judicial system. I believe in the judicial system. And you say, well, they don't always get it right. Well, we're human beings. People don't, no human always gets it right. But I sure hope they get it right.
Amen.
Amen. In every situation. Now, what do you do? And I want to make this statement now. So what do you do when someone in your congregation has been accused of something? What do you do when someone in your family gets accused of something? I'm not going to pick on anyone, but what do you do if someone comes to you and says, hey, Dale Freeman beats his wife? Are you going to call for my resignation? What do you do if someone says, brother so-and-so beats his children? Are you going to call for the DSS to go and take them out? Are you? Is that what you're going to do? So someone tells you that and you say, well, you know, the DSS needs to go and get those children. What if it's your children and someone says that about you? You see, we can mess up now if we're not careful. I want to come down on the right side. How about you? I just want to do what's right. That's all. And that is, you gather information, you pray, and then you let the judicial system do their job. Isn't that what you would want? Help me out, folks. Is that what you would want or not? You say, no, I just think we ought to act on a whim and just say, you know what, he's been accused, so let's just enact judgment. I don't think you'd do that if it was you. I don't think you'd do that if it was you. By the way, that is what happened to Jesus. So I think they got it wrong on that one, the accusers. And I'm just saying, I'm not here to declare anyone's innocence or guilty. I'm here to say, as a body of believers, we need to follow the Scripture and not emotion and rumor. All right. With that said, Peter is writing to a group of people that are going through some really difficult times. All right? And so I want you to notice in verse number 9, he said, whom resist, speaking of the devil, this is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, there's some people that are going through some hard times. He said, but now you're going through some hard times. He said, but so are some others. All right? And so he said, so what have I advised you to do? What do you do when the devil comes after you? You say, well, the devil hasn't come after me. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. The devil is relentless coming after you. Now, he may not be coming after you in a way that he's coming after someone else. He may not be coming after you in an area in which he's coming at someone else. But the devil is never going to leave you alone. I want you to know that. Now, please listen to me now. The devil will never leave us alone. So I want to go to a church where there's no opposition and there's never any trial or there's never any kind of situations. I just want to kind of get away and just never have any more trouble or trial or situations. Well, if you're saved, you're going to have that day one day, but it's not now. When we get to heaven, thank God there'll be none of this. But until then, we're going to be under constant assault and attack, and I want you to know that, all right? I just want you to know that when we made the decision, we're going to preach the Bible, we're going to do what's right, we're going to set standard, we're going to do it God's way, we're going to do it the Bible way, we got the attention of the devil. And then we said, well, you know what, we're going to get involved in the community. We want to be a church that gets involved in the community, and we want to try to help some of our community leaders to understand that we want and expect things to be done with a certain standard. Because this is a God-fearing country that was founded on godly principles. Now, if you just sit back and do none of that, the devil's not coming after you. But when you start getting involved in things and you uncover some things and you kind of get on the enemy's territory, just go ahead and mark it down. It's coming to you. So I don't like that. This might not be your place then. And I want everyone in the county to come here and hear the Word of God preached. But I got to tell you, we're not backing up. Going to the school board meeting tomorrow. Amen. Going to stand and preach against sin this morning. That's right. Going to tell it straight. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. We're just not going to duck and dodge around this, brethren. That's not the way that God wants it done. And so don't you duck and dodge around it. Don't you duck and dodge around it. So what do I do, preacher? Well, notice what Peter wrote here. Look in chapter number 5. Let me give you some things. I'm going to give you three words. He said, number one, during a situation like this, it's important that you stay humble. Stay humble. Don't flex your, listen, don't flex your, you know, your muscle and talk about all you're going to do and start trying to argue people down. The battle's the Lord's. Understand this. Notice what Peter said. Peter said, it would have really done me good if I knew some things sooner. I would have prevented some things in my life. So I want you to notice what Peter says in verse number 1. He said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who also am at, watch this next word, an elder. Peter hadn't always been an elder. There was a time when Peter was always saying things he shouldn't have said. There was a time when Peter was always doing things he shouldn't have done. See, Peter had to learn and grow through some life experiences. Can I tell you, I've been doing this for about 35 years, seen a lot of things, don't know it all, still learning, but I've seen some things. Now watch what Peter does here. Peter is using, he's drawing from life experiences to help people that are going through a hard time. Watch what he says. He said, not only am I an elder, he said, I'm a witness. I've seen some things. Now don't miss this now. I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. What are you saying, Peter? He said, I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I heard him pray. He told me to pray, but I fell asleep. You listening? I was sleeping when I should have been praying. I've learned from that experience. He said, I've seen the sufferings of Christ. I followed afar off when they arrested him. You see what Peter's doing to these folks? He's telling them, I've seen some things. I've witnessed some things. I know what's happening here, he's saying. And he's getting ready to get down to really the crux of the matter. They were thinking it was something else. And Peter said, oh, no, that's not it at all. He said, I want to tell you, I've seen some things. I was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was there when they crucified him and they whipped him and they beat him. I saw the sufferings of Christ. You see what he said? Watch what else he said. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said, I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was me that spoke up and said, maybe we should build tabernacles for all of them, right? Peter said, I didn't understand what was going on then, but I do now, amen. You see what Peter said? He said, I just want to validate that I have a little bit of experience in what you're going through. I've been there. Notice what he said in verse number 2. What do you think he's alluding to? Look what he said. Feed the flock of God. You think Peter ever heard that? You think Peter ever heard, feed my lambs, feed my sheep? You think Peter was in his mind revisiting what we now know as John chapter 10? Or John chapter 21, when Jesus came to him there on the shore of Galilee and restored him back to a place of usefulness? See, Peter's saying, I've experienced some things. You've experienced some things. And we just have to understand that we stand and we fight. See, that's what Christians do. Christians stand, they stick. And we're going to talk about this. We don't tuck tail and run every time there's an enemy. Every time something goes on, we don't allow the enemy to scatter the sheep. Notice what he said here in verse number 3. He said, not only feed the flock which is among you, he said, but taking the oversight. And he went on to say in verse number 5, the latter part of it, he said, be clothed with humility. You see when he said that? Be clothed with humility. You think that he was thinking about John chapter 13 when Jesus clothed himself, girded himself, and in humility washed the feet of the disciples? I'm absolutely sure of it. What's he saying? Peter, what are you saying? He said, I'm saying that I've walked with Jesus. I've seen that walking with Jesus has its high points and its low points. I've seen that walking with Jesus has its up times and its down times. You listening to me, folks? When we walk with Jesus, there's going to be some blessing and some burden. There's going to be some triumph and some trials. It's just a part of the Christian life. And I fear because of the environment that we live in and some of these prosperity-type preachers that we just feel like it's all got to be a bed of roses and smiling and everything's okay. we are in a warfare. And sometimes we need to be kind of shaken and reminded, hey, the war is still raging. The enemy's still out there. Right? And he'll get in here if we're not careful. I'm just saying. And so he said, I want you to know that I've learned from these experiences. And he said, I want you to know that you need to remain humble. Notice what he said in verse number 5. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, I believe in that principle. I believe young people ought to submit to the elderly. I just do. Let them teach you something. Glean some wisdom from them. Say amen. Let them teach you something. You say, I know it all. Well, you know, maybe they can teach you one thing. No, you think you know it all. And see, when we were your age, we thought we knew it all. And now we realize we don't even know as much as we thought we knew. There's far more that I don't know than I do know. Still learning. And so he said here in verse number 5, he said, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And then he said this to all of them. Look at it, verse number 5. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Is that what he's saying, brethren? Can you do that? When someone comes to give you advice, are you always waving your hand and saying, I know. Hey, you have a problem with pride. Be teachable. Be pliable. What's Peter saying? You want to win battles? You want to live the victorious Christian life? Open up your heart and open up your mind and open up your will to receive instruction. You want to live the victorious Christian life? Then learn and glean from people that God puts in the pathway of your life. Amen. And so he said, number one, stay humble. Don't get hardened and withdrawn and think, well, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to will my way to victory. No, you're not. Right? I'm just going to will my way to triumph. No. Either God will help us be a triumph or we won't triumph at all. Notice what he said in verse number 5, the latter part. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So now, if you're not willing to submit to others and learn from others and learn from others' situations and examples and their knowledge and their wisdom. And so he said, when you're going through hard times, keep your ears open. Stay humble. Right? Don't think you know everything about every situation. And you'll find that that's what happens a lot of times. People just automatically assume, oh, I know everything about this. Well, you might not. Right? You might not. Might do you good to kind of close your mouth and open your ears and your heart. Just saying. And so I think this is what Peter is saying. Now, I'm interested in that word, God resisteth. We're going to come back to that. You see it in the latter part of verse number 5. God resisteth. He's talking about staying humble. Now, he'll go over in verse number 9, and he uses that word again. He said, wherefore resist? Very interesting word. We'll talk about that when we get to verse 9, but I don't want to pass it up without you seeing that. God resisteth the proud. So if you're one of God's children and you're proud, God's resisting you. That's not a good thing. All right? But he giveth grace to the humble. Look at verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore. Right? Because God resists some people, you don't want to be one of those people that God resists. Is that what he's saying, brethren? Yes. You don't want to be one of those people that God resists. So humble yourself now under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God's going to lift you up. And God's going to give you wisdom. And God's going to help you out. Now we can claim verse 7. See, verse 7 is kind of like Philippians 4:19. People run around claiming verse, my God shall supply all of your need. Well, God's going to, take care of all of my care. Well, now, wait a minute. If you don't humble yourself, he's not. Right? You're not ready for verse number 7 until you get in verse number 5 and 6 down. Say amen with me now. That's taking Scripture in the context in which it's given. You can't just reach in and pull the Scripture out and say, well, this is it. No, not at all. And so he said, casting all of your care. Who? Those who have humbled themselves. You cast all of your care upon him. He'll take care of your anxiety. That's what the word care is. He'll take care of your anxiety and your burden. Why? Because he cares for you. And you've allowed him to help you. So he said, number one, he said, stay humble. And we all need to stay humble. Regardless of what's going on in our life, whether you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley, whether things are going good or not so good, God help me and God help you. Let's just stay humble. Let's stay humble. So, you know, God's just doing all these great things. Yeah, God's doing it. Not me, not you. God's doing it, right? God's blessing. God's meeting the needs. And we need to give the glory where the glory is due. And so he said, stay humble, especially when you're being tested. Stay humble. Don't allow these things to get you out of place. Now, number two, in verse number 8, he said, stay watchful. Why? He said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be alert. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. Don't fall asleep like I did when Jesus was praying in the garden, Peter said. Yeah. Don't find yourself around the wrong fire, listening to the wrong voices, like I did. You'll end up denying him, like I did. You see what Peter's saying? He said, you know, there was a time when I thought, watch this now, be sober, verse 8, be vigilant. We're going to come back and talk about those words. Because, this is why you need to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, because you have an enemy. Now listen, you have an enemy, and he's real, brethren. Listen to me, he's real. So, well, I can't see him. That doesn't mean he's not real. The devil's real. He's just as real now as he was in Peter's day. He's just as real now as he was at the cross. Hear me, the devil is real. And if you think the devil has closed up shop and gone out of business, then you're sadly mistaken. He has not. If you think the devil has lightened up, softened up, and decided not to be so hard on people, especially God's people, then you're sadly mistaken who he is and what his objectives are. I want you to notice what Peter said. He said, not only should you be sober and be vigilant, for because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may. And I want you to look at that last word. It's not whom he may distract. I think we think, well, you know, the devil, he's a distractor. He has that in his arsenal. But that's not his goal, my friend. Please listen to your preacher this morning. That is not his goal. His goal is not merely to distract you. His goal is not merely to deceive you. His goal is not merely to discourage you. If the devil had his way, he would devour every one of us. That's the word. He would just chew you up to death and spit you out in shreds. That's the devil that we're dealing with. Okay? We're not dealing with some red man in a suit in Disneyland. That's foolishness. We're not dealing with a guy who just made a few mistakes and now he's not in heaven or he's not in God's will. No, listen, we're dealing with the axiom of evil. And because of that, this is what Peter said. He said, be sober, which means stay calm and controlled. Be sober-minded. All right? That's what be sober means. Look the word up. I did. Be vigilant. Awake. Alert. On guard. Your adversary, he's an opponent in law, and he's always bringing up charges. Why? Because your adversary, look at it, the devil. You know what the word devil means? Slanderer. He is an accuser of the brethren. Night and day, Revelation says in chapter 12. And so this is who we're dealing with in our Christian experience. Peter said, I know about this. I know about this individual. I confronted him, or he confronted me. And now I want to get to the meat before I bring this to a close. So don't you miss this now. In case the devil has done his job in rocking you to sleep and thinking this is not for me and this is about another family in the church and this is just addressing that. It's not doing that at all. It's trying to help you to understand that the devil's coming after you. Okay? He's coming after you. You say, well, if I quit coming to church, he's not going to come after me. No, he'll just have you in a better place to get you. I'm just trying to help you to understand something. All right? The devil's not going to quit coming after you. You see that word? Look at verse 8. He walketh. I want you to look at that word. It's a continuation. Look at it in verse 8. He walketh about. That just means he's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. You say, well, I'm glad the devil's give up on me. The devil hasn't given up on you. The devil hasn't given up on you. He didn't even give up on Jesus. He had the audacity to confront Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Hear me now. And after Jesus quoted the word of God to him, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that he departed from him, but it doesn't end there for a season. Because he always comes back. You know why? Verse 8, he walketh. He walketh about. He's going to circle back to you now. Listen to me. He's going to circle back to you. Say, man, I'm glad that's over. It's not ever over until we leave this world. So what are you saying, Peter? Peter's saying, well, I think you should listen to me because I got told one time about these things and I didn't listen. I'm not going to ask you to turn, but it's found in Luke chapter 22. It's kind of detailed, okay? And he got told by more than an elder. He got told by the Son of God himself. You listening? Jesus went to Peter and said, Peter, he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I got some things I need to deal with you and talk to you about. He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you. And Peter said, whoa, wait, what? You say, what? I'm a disciple. I have you to know that I was one of the first called. Right? Well, I'm part of the inner circle. Right? You listening? See, somebody might be in this congregation thinking that today. I'm a preacher. You think the devil cares if you're a preacher? He might could affect more people negatively by coming after me or you as preachers. I have influence. Yeah, I know. That might be why his target's on your back. And Peter said, I want you to listen, he said, because I was warned and I was told that the devil was going to sift me. And you know what I said? Never. Peter, you're going to forsake me. You're going to deny me. Never. I never do that. Now, wait a minute now. Hold on. You know, one of the first things that happens when we start hearing stuff or we start getting a little challenge in our life, we'd say, well, I might do this, but I would never do that. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Seems like I've heard that before. You be careful about what you say you'd never do. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you don't know what you'd be doing right now. I just want you to understand the way this thing works, brethren. If we're not careful, in our pride, we'll say we're humble. So just really watch it. That's all I'm doing. Just trying to send out I'm firing a warning shot here. You listening? He had a warning shot. Didn't affect him much. As a matter of fact, and I just want you to write this verse down now. Mark 14, I think it's 31. Just write it down. Now, if you turn there when I'm preaching, I'm going to ask God to help you not understand it. No, I'm not. Mark 14, 31. You know what the Bible says? After Peter had said, I would never do that, Jesus said, yeah, you will. You're going to do it. You know what it says in Mark 14, 31? He the more vehemently said, I won't do it. He was vehement. I mean, you look that word up. It's got a touch of violence in it. It's almost like he grabbed the Son of God and said, I will not do that. He was adamant about it. Peter really believed in the deep recess of his soul that he wasn't going to deny Jesus. He wasn't going to be offended by him. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, you are, but I prayed for you. Aren't you glad that happens? I prayed for you. And so what's Peter doing here? He's writing to them and he's saying, listen, I want you to know, being where you are, I've seen some things. Witness, verse 1. I've walked with Jesus. I've experienced some things. Been down the road a little bit. I know how these things play out. And I'm telling you, we have an enemy who is smarter than us. Listen to me now. He is more crafty than we are. He is not only smarter than us, he is stronger than us. Yeah. You say, well, that doesn't sound very good. Sounds like we're going to lose. Not at all. Because he's not smarter than Jesus. And that's whose side I'm on. That's who I'm under. That's whose wing I'm under. That's who I'm humbling myself under. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Stay humble, he said. Then stay watchful. Stay watchful now. He's lurking at every corner. He's looking for an avenue into your life and into your home. He wants to devour you. All right? So what can I do, preacher? Well, look at verse number 9. He said, whom? That's that old devil. You're going to have to resist. You know, James put it this way. James said in James chapter 4, verse 7, you can just turn a page back or two, and it's right there in your Bible, depending on the size of your print. James chapter 4 and verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, that submission comes before the resistance. Because if you're trying to resist the devil in the energy of your flesh, you're going to lose every single time. When I have tried to resist the devil in the energy of my flesh alone, I lose every time. I need God. You do too. See, we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, God, I need you. Lord, I need you to help me. Someone has said this. I think it was D.L. Moody, but I don't know. If it wasn't, he probably would want it to be because it's a tremendous statement. You either submit yourself to God and resist the devil, or you resist God and submit yourself to the devil. Did you get that? You either will submit yourself to God and resist the devil, or you will resist God and submit yourself to the devil. Peter resisted God, and he lived to be sorry for it. Jesus told him, this is what's going to happen. He resisted. He said, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not good to resist the Lord. We find ourselves in the wrong place every time. And so he said, now you're going to have to resist, back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, you're going to have to resist the devil. Okay? That word resist, it just means to fight back. It means to stand against, to pull away. It's a resistance. A fight, a struggle, not giving in. I looked it up in the Webster's 1828. How are you going to resist him then, preacher? You ready? Don't miss this now. Look at it. Let's let the Word of God tell us how. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. It's the only way. Not in the flesh. In the faith. That's the way the devil is resisted. In the faith, not in the flesh. I'll show him. No, you won't. No, you won't. He'll show you. Please hear me this morning. I'll show them, preacher. No, no, no. They'll show you. This is not about you. It's not about me. This is about resisting the devil in the spirit through the faith. Is that what the Bible teaches, brethren? This is the Bible way. And so he says, do it in the faith. How is that? Well, that's in the Word and in prayer. That's how we do it. We do it in the Word and in prayer. I wrote something down that I want to read to you. Jesus resisted the devil two times that is prominent in the Scripture. You know when it was and where it was? I'll let your mind work a little bit. You got it? In the wilderness, he resisted him. How did he resist him? The Word of God. It is written. But that's not the only place he resisted him. In the garden, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The Word of God and prayer is the answer, brethren. Jesus set the example for us to resist the devil. It's the Word of God and prayer. God help me and God help you to follow our Lord's example. It's the only way to victory. I want to close with this. So he said, number one, stay humble. I want to stay humble. I pray to God that you'll stay humble. Listen, don't bow yourself up. Don't try to, you know, roll up your sleeves and say, I'm going to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, I've seen folks do some foolish things in my ministry. And Peter done some foolish things, but he learned from them. And he said, now I want to help you. Let's learn from people that had experiences with Christ. He's writing about his experiences here, and he said, listen to me. I've experienced some failure, and I want you to learn from my mistakes. And it would behoove us, number one, to take Peter's example and stay humble. Number two, stay watchful. Watch out. Be sober. Be vigilant. Right? Is that what he's saying? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist. Steadfast. I like that word. That means strongly and surely. In the faith, speaks of the word of God and prayer. Knowing, and here's where we'll close, finally, we are to be hopeful. Why? Because when we follow Peter's advice under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, notice what he says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everyone's going through hard times. Yeah. Everybody has a set of troubles. Your set of challenges may not be the same as my set of challenges. Is that right, brethren? They're not me, preacher. I don't have any problems. I'd like to meet you after the service. Sure, you have problems. Your problems may not be my problems. Listen to me, young folks. Look right up here at your preacher, okay? Your problems may not be what some of the elderly people are going through, and our problems may not be what you're going through. This is why we're to submit ourselves and to clothe ourselves in humility. We can help one another when we do that. When we puff up with pride, I don't know what's coming to that young generation. You're not going to help anyone that way. Them old fogies, you're not going to help anyone that way. But when we follow Peter's advice under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can help one another. We can build one another up. We can increase our strength because we are united. And that's what Peter's saying here. Be humble. Number two, be watchful. Know who the enemy is. Right? Don't just pull out your weapon and start firing at people. Identify the enemy. Right? Is that what Peter's saying? Yes. Identify the enemy. Be watchful. Know what's happening. Know what's going on. Then number three, he said what? He said, be hopeful. Be hopeful. But the God of all grace, verse number 10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He said, God's going to help you. Now, if you're here and you're going through a hard time, I don't know what people are going through. I know we had that little situation. It's not a little situation. We have a situation in the church. And it's just a church member was accused of something. There's going to be more church members down the road. Listen, things happen. I would say this. I don't know how any other way I could say it. I've had a couple of people from that paper to ask me, and I've made a statement. Read the statement. We stand against unrighteousness. Don't know any other way I can say it. Any person, that would violate a child, I want to have the fullest extent of the law against them. Yeah. Amen. And you can say amen. I mean, it's just the truth. But I refuse to go on hearsay. I will wait until a verdict is rendered. And then I have decisions to make, and so do you. I also refuse to change the way I approach sinners and people that need help. You've got that decision to make on your own. I've had drug addicts come to me. I'm just going to be personal with you right now, okay? Listen, you don't know. Maybe you've had them too. As your pastor, I've had drug addicts come to me who has spent all of their family's fortune on drugs. Blew it. Smoked it up in a crack pipe. You listening? And said, help me. What am I supposed to do? I'm not going to help you. You're a sorry, low-down dog. You smoked all your family's inheritance up in a crack pipe. Is that what you would do? I'm just asking. If a man smacked his children around and abused his family and came to you and said, listen, I need some help. I don't know why I do the things I do. I need some help. What are you going to say? Get away from me. Or are you going to try to help a man? I just want to know what you'd do. Can I tell you, if some of us stood up and took the suit off that we're wearing today and you really knew what was behind this suit in our past, you might approach us different. But I'm in verse number 10. The God of all grace has made a difference in my life. You see, I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go to the places I used to go. I sure am glad somebody invested in me and didn't give up on me. And say, he's bent for hell. There's nothing that no one can do for him. Oh, there's a temptation for people to believe that, even myself. But God, I don't ever want to get to that place. God, help me never to get to that place where I give up on old sinners. I don't ever want to give up on old sinners. I don't want to excuse their sin. I don't want to approve their sin, but I do want to help them to get free from it. Amen. Well, if you would, stand to your feet. I just felt led of the Lord to preach that message to you. Stay humble. Don't think, well, I will never do that. Well, you might not. I don't know. What have you done that you don't want to tell us about? I'm just saying. Somebody's going to leave and say, well, the preacher's taking up for this one and that one. I'm just stating facts. All right? I'm stating facts. What have you done that you don't want to know about? Stay humble. Number two, stay watchful. All right? Just watch. How many of you know that there's a little virus going around in the church called the hand, foot, and mouth disease? Raise your hand. Okay, word gets out quick, amen? This morning I was sitting at my desk, and I'm just going to tell you this. You're probably not going to think this is funny. Most people don't think anything I say is funny, but that's okay. And I thought about, we had somebody who said something about, you know, to Sharon, who's over the nursery, said something about the hand, foot, and mouth disease. And immediately God said, well, there's some people with the mouth disease too. I mean, you know, you don't have the hand and the foot to have to get involved. Some people just keep a mouth disease. You know, everything that comes out of their mouth is poison. They have a mouth disease. Can I ask you if you have a mouth disease to get it corrected? Let's get that virus taken care of. All right? Get that mouth disease taken care of. God will bless you for it. God's not going to bless your life now as long as you're stoking the fire. Right? He's not going to do it. And so I pray that God would help you. Stay humble. Stay watchful. Stay hopeful. God can help you. God's grace is sufficient. Let's bow our heads together.